Next item, 324.
Declare intent to initiate local improvement district formation proceedings to construct a massed arm traffic signal at the North Vancouver and North Cook Street intersection and to realign the eastbound lanes of North Cook Street east of Interstate 405 off-ramp in the North Vancouver Avenue and Cook Street Local Improvement District.
Mr. Novick.
Thank you. I'm going to turn this over to Andrew in a moment, but I want to begin by noting that we expect this project to significantly improve safety for pedestrians, bicyclists, and motorists at an intersection that carries more traffic. Is this true than any other intersection in Portland? What the benefits of this project will be, the pedestrians will be able to cross the intersection safely with a traffic signal instead of crossing their fingers and dodging traffic, and everybody knows how dangerous that can be. Cyclists will also see a marked improvement to their commute. Currently, they're sandwiched between vehicular traffic going southbound in Vancouver and southbound vehicles making right turns to go on the Fremont Bridge. The sight distance is poor and Cook coming off the Fremont Bridge, which puts bicyclists in a vulnerable position. And the sight line will also be improved for motorists, so they won't have to predict whether traffic will be going straight onto the Fremont Bridge or turning left in front of them. And at this point, I'll turn it over to Andrew.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Novick. I'm Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator, and I have a short little PowerPoint for you here today. I got about 95% of it, and Carla just got the last 5% figured out, so I think we're ready to go. So I'm very pleased to bring this LID forward for council consideration. This is an extremely rare LID. I don't know that we've ever had an LID in the history of the city that has been solely devoted to funding a traffic signal. So I believe this is somewhat of a historic day, and this would not be possible without a wonderful city and community partnership. So the property owners who are helping fund this traffic signal are Kaiser Group, Legacy Emanuel Hospital, New Seasons Market, and Karuna Park Properties 1 North. What was unusual about this LID is that it was a voluntary participation LID, so we did not have a normal assessment methodology like square footage or abutting linear footage or anything like that. We basically got together with all of the stakeholders in the area who were interested in improving the safety of the community, and we divided the LID according to what people were willing to pay. So this next slide here are the LID maps. There's an overview map there on the left. I trust that most of the council members at some point have used the Fremont Bridge and have taken the Kirby exit to get to North Portland, so I'm guessing that most of you have a good feel for where this is. The map on the right is an inset close-up map, and I think that really shows the area that we're focusing on here. You can see in the upper left the traffic comes off the Fremont Bridge. Makes a left turn on Cook and approaches Vancouver, where there's a stop sign and where we want to put in a traffic signal. So one thing that I found out this week that was quite interesting to me, I grew up riding my bike in southeast Portland, but didn't do much bike riding in North Portland, and this was sort of counterintuitive to me, but I found out that Vancouver and Cook had the highest bike traffic volume of any intersection in the city. So putting in a traffic signal here will definitely help not just bike safety, but also motorist safety as well for the reasons that Commissioner Novick enumerated. So jumping back to this slide here, you can see that that white car in the lower left, it pulls up to the intersection. There's a lot of activity to scan here. Got to watch for southbound vehicles on Vancouver making a right turn. You got to watch for the westbound traffic on Cook, trying to figure out whether they're going to the Fremont Bridge or whether they're going to make a left turn in front of you to go south on Vancouver towards Emanuel. Then you've got a bicyclist there, and you see a steady stream of bicyclists popping up from behind the right-turning cars. And then last but not least, there's a through lane on the left, and you have to watch for all those cars coming out of nowhere. So one of the things that we looked at as we were putting this LID together is whether to use span wire or whether to use mast arm. Span wire is cheaper initially, but it is harder to maintain, and when the wires start to droop a little bit and a truck happens to catch them, this is the type of result that you see, and when you do have some sort of an instance of a vehicle or a truck hitting a pole, then it's more likely that all of the traffic signals in the entire intersection come down as opposed to one. So it's a little bit larger of a capital investment up front, but we really feel that long term, not only will it be better in terms of minimizing our maintenance costs, certainly all of you know that PBOT is not flush with dollars for maintenance, it also will make for a more attractive neighborhood, and we didn't think it made sense to put in a span wire signal at the same time that we're removing span wire signals nearby and converting them to mast arm. So if our community partners had not stepped up to help fund this traffic signal, this is the likely alternative that we could see coming down the track, which is if we have all these right angle crashers at Vancouver and Cook. Now, Vancouver and Cook is not in the top 5 or 10 dirty dozen intersections in terms of crashers in the city, but the crashers that occur there are among the most preventable. And if we did not have this traffic signal coming in, what the traffic engineers are telling me is that a possible outcome would be is that we'd have to put in a all-way stop. And if any of you have traveled through Broadway and Cooch recently and you see some of those backups on Broadway during the Cooch hour, you can imagine that that would happen here at Vancouver and Cook. You would have long lines of traffic southbound on Vancouver that would queue up and increase vehicle emissions, which, of course, we don't want. Yeah.
I appreciate that you've highlighted that there's back southbound traffic backup, but Commissioner Novick, I would also observe that what I've observed at this intersection, which I go through a lot, is it's so unusual given its location that people actually don't know what to do. And so there's a lot of people sort of wanting to defer to someone else and not quite sure what the rules are. And it's sort of an anomaly because the street to the north has a light, the street to the south has a light, but you've got this little gridlock. And it's also odd because we've in the past talked about Cooch being a more dynamic arterial, a circulation route. So it gets stuck. And to me, this has become one of the real puzzles downtown. And I figure if I have trouble navigating it, I feel sorry for out of city, you know, visitors who are trying to figure it out. But I hope at some point we can come back and fix this intersection because it really is, in my view, a problem.
I'll take that as a charge as to what I ought to be focusing my next LID efforts on.
Good luck.
Thank you,
Commissioner.
So this is the recap of the project financials, and this was another mind-numbingly complex LID. I've certainly learned that to put these projects together, it just takes more and more creativity all the time. What's a little bit unusual about this one is that the signal itself is a little over half of the cost, almost two-thirds of the cost of the project. What we really needed to do, though, was to realign Cook coming off the I-405 ramp, because the way those eastbound travel lanes are set up, they aim for the sidewalk and the curb on the east side of Vancouver, and we have to slide that over to the left so that when cars are traveling at a much higher rate of speed, since they're not approaching an all-way stop, that they're lined up with Cook from Vancouver to Williams. So we will have to take one or two trees out, and we'll have that conversation with the Urban Forestry Commission, but unfortunately we will need to take out the median and a couple of trees to make that happen. So if you jump down to the second little section in there, you can see that the other way that we made this project happen, I was very mindful of asking Ben Kaiser in particular to pay the largest amount of the LID. And so what we put together here to try to soften the blow a little bit for him, recognizing that in theory we could just put in a span wire signal, is that we are going, to the extent possible, provide SDC credits to his development to help soften the blow. So the easiest way for me to explain it is that money that Ben would otherwise be paying towards SDC charges, the LID dollars will issue a credit against those. So in effect, Ben is redirecting his SDC dollars that would otherwise go into a citywide pot back to the Vancouver and Cook intersection just to try to help soften that blow.
Just to clarify, those are just the transportation system development charges?
Yes.
Thank you.
Not parks or any of the other ones.
Thank you.
And so there, if you just look at the final section there at the bottom, you can see that PBOT does have quite a bit of skin in the game here, as it should. So between absorbing the overhead cost of the project and foregone revenue from the FCC credits, PBOT puts up about 45% of the funding of the project, with the remaining 54% picked up by the property owners. The last slide that I just want to show you is that as we were having these conversations about the traffic signal, I had several people approach me about, would it be possible to expand this LID to underground utilities? And I think council is aware that we did this recently in Gateway. It's certainly a bit of a trial by error approach. Utility undergrounding is not in the base scope of this project. However, there are directives in there to authorize me as LID administrator to negotiate extra work agreements with property owners. Just want to be very clear with council a couple of things. One is that any financial participation by property owners to underground utilities will be completely voluntary, so nobody will be forced to help pay for that. And secondly, there is no cost transfer from among the various parties, Pacific Power, the City of Portland, or the property owners. So we're not shifting costs here. If you look at this picture here, you can see that there's a power line that comes up the east side of Williams, switches over to the west side of the street to avoid a new condo that went in, and then switches back over to the east side of the street. So if you think about this holistically, as this neighborhood continues to redevelop, what we would like to try to do, if we can, is to avoid a situation that if, say, you're driving from Williams and Cook up to Williams and Killingsworth, that you don't have power lines crossing the street, you know, every 200 feet, which is pretty ugly and not very cost-effective when Pacific Power has to repeatedly move poles. So I can't promise that we're going to get there, because we're just starting the discussion. But if we can get the property owners together and work out an arrangement where we can have some cost sharing, my sense is that it would be far more cost effective and better for the neighborhood to take a more comprehensive approach and then allow that work to be funded by the LID. So that is the extent of my presentation this morning. I appreciate your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Andrew, I have a few questions. In that page 3 of your handout on the right, where it says D2, my recollection is that's the Red Cross parking lot?
Yes.
Is the Red Cross, are they being asked to participate in this?
I did approach them. I was hoping that they would financially participate. They were supportive of the project, but apparently not in a position to financially contribute at the time. However, we will continue discussions with them, and if they are willing to change that stance, I can certainly incorporate them into the LID.
Now, because of the current challenges at this intersection, what a lot of people do is they come off the bridge, and instead of going east, they go west and do a U-turn about 500 feet down and then come back the other way, Or they just continue on that way. They just go all the way around. So they pop up sort of over by the Nike store. This seems like it has real potential. But one just caution flag, one question. There's a second choke point here that this doesn't address, which is North Williams. And because North Williams has a stop sign.
Williams and Cook?
Williams and Cook.
Yeah.
Oh, Commissioner, I'm glad you brought that up. I neglected to mention that we do have the Williams Neighborhood Greenway project that will be funding that signal. So the LID is funding the Vancouver and Cook signal, but there will be another signal going in at Williams and Cook.
Well, there will be.
Yeah.
Because what happens now is that gets backed up because it's very difficult to see the traffic that's coming south to north on North Williams. So there's a lot of stalled traffic on Cook between Vancouver and Williams. And so you'll be at some point putting a light there as well?
Yeah, and it actually may come in slightly before the Vancouver and Cook signal.
Well, so if they have two lights in that area and they're coordinated, then you solve the problem, because you have to go an extra block east in order to go north, and because it's a stop sign and because you've got heavy bike traffic and car traffic at rush hour, that's another factor that backs up traffic and that causes people just to bail and go the other way on Cook. The other thing I'll just note is that with the current situation, this is how I get to work. So when I have to drive my car, this is how I go. So I think I have some appreciation of the challenges. What people do on Cook is they play sort of dodgeball almost with the bikes as they're trying to cross. Yeah. And it creates another real problem because as you motor through that intersection to avoid the bike patterns, then what you hit is the next challenge is you've got volunteers and people from the Red Cross parking lot entering the lot, coming out, or actually just crossing the street. And so you then run into a second area of safety concern where you're kind of hitting the throttle to get through. And now you've got people. Now I realize those people are probably jaywalking. But the truth is that's what a lot of volunteers do. And if you ever park there and give blood, that's what we all do. We park and we cross the street. So this is a huge safety problem. And I'm delighted that you're found a way to potentially fund that light. And I think if you have the other light and they're coordinated, you might actually have solved the problem. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Great. Other questions for Andrew? And is there anyone that wants to testify? I see Ms. Holden here from
We have four people signed up.
Okay.
The first three are Claudia Notek, Gordon Jones, and Benjamin Kaiser.
Okay. Come on up. Good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning. I'd like to say good morning to all of you and to thank you for giving me this opportunity to testify in support of the signalization of the local improvement district petition. My name is Claudia Konotek, and I'm part of the community relations team for New Seasons Market. And I am very excited about this opportunity. And we would like to go on record in favor of the LID project for the North Vancouver and Cook Street. New Seasons Market has always worked hand in hand with the community when we're opening new stores. It's important for us to know what's important to the neighbors when we're joining a specific community and find out how we can best support them. We believe that New Seasons Market is more than just a grocery store. We're an active participant in the communities that we join. In preparation of opening the Williams Vancouver store, which opened last August, we spent a lot of time talking to the Elliott Neighborhood Association, the Boise Neighborhood Association, the Williams Vancouver Business Association, the North Williams Stakeholder Advisory Committee, which was the group that was put together to actually talk about traffic on Williams, as well as nonprofits and some of the other local businesses. And the message that we heard running through every conversation was safety. People were concerned for that corridor, for pedestrians, cyclists, and even the drivers. So we saw that there is significant change going on to that community since Mr. Fish drives that area as often as I do. We can see that there have been lots of changes, lots of bicyclists, lots of new apartments and things going on, and so it has indeed changed, and in part to be the fact that we have a new store there as well. As a result of listening to all the input that we heard along the way, we are proud to be part of this public-private coalition that was formed to address these safety needs. We're proud to have partners in this community who are willing to chip in, who are willing to look at this opportunity and see it as a win-win for all of us. I'm here to basically declare our support for the petition for the signal at the corner of North Cook and Vancouver, synchronization of the planned signal of North Cook and North Williams, along with the proposed signal at North Cook and North Vancouver, would improve public safety and would show immediate benefit to the traffic efficiency and flow in the area immediately. In closing, I'd like to thank you for your time And I'd be glad to answer any questions that you have with regards to this project.
Thank you very much. Okay, who's next? Gordon, Ben?
Mayor and commissioners, my name is Gordon Jones, and I don't have a dog in this proverbial fight, but I missed my opportunity a month ago to speak to you about the project in Gateway, the Rose Apartment Project, 9 years in the making, and also required not only help from a number of agencies in the city, BES and PDC, but also an LID. I'm here today just to speak briefly about the importance of using the LID tool to help facilitate private sector development in the city. It does take a tremendous amount of cooperation and collaboration among various city agencies as well as the private sector in order to pull these things off. And it, I think we're very fortunate in the city to have the bureaucracy in the place and the expertise in place to be able to do this, not just with the city, and I really commend Andrew Abbey's abilities as the LID coordinator to so just doggedly and determinedly get these things done. But also, I want to also tip my hat today to Pacific Corp. As a power company, they were just very instrumental in making our LID successful. John Mowdy, their field general, was involved in countless meetings with us, and we approached it from a number of different angles before we finally came up with the right formula with some grants from BES and PDC to help with the funding and using the LID. So that's my only purpose here is just to suggest that we really recommit ourselves to using these tools that we have available for these kinds of improvements that really create better neighborhoods and better living environments and better safety results. I did attach a copy of a picture of our street lights and our undergrounded utilities lit up for our groundbreaking, and Pacific Corp had to pull out all the stops to make that happen, and they did so. So I just would encourage you to support this LID as well. Thank you.
Thank you
for taking the time to come in.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much, and I really appreciate your saying that you're grateful that we have the right bureaucracy, because bureaucracy just doesn't get enough gratitude.
Maybe it wasn't the right choice of words.
Oh, I think it was right.
To mind. Just right. Just
Can
right.
I make one more comment? I would be remiss if I did not thank Andrew Abbey for all of his help. He has been patient and perseverant and so fabulous for us to work with, and so I would like to just go on record on saying thank you, Andrew.
Great. That's nice. Thank you.
Great. Mayor, Commissioners, my name is Ben Kaiser. I've been before you guys recently with a site very close to this. So thank you for your time again today, and thank you, Commissioner Novick, for your time on these kind of issues. And I want to follow on the compliments to Andrew Abbey as well. It's been, he really is the one who persevered when you get this many property owners to contribute money. That's a pretty tough thing to do. But he really did persevere and pull off what I thought was going to be impossible. The project that I do want to make one comment about, the project that I brought through recently that was seeking higher density and higher kind of density goals, it's those kind of goals when they're reached that allows contributions like this to be made to city infrastructure. As you guys know, City of Portland differs from a lot of cities in the way that they expect development teams, developers, private property owners to pay for infrastructure. A lot of other cities pay for the infrastructure and then allow development to happen. Well, it always catches development teams off guard when you go in to develop a project and you're paying for a streetlight two blocks away, or sidewalks all the way around the perimeter, or even when it comes to undergrounding. So I think the one thing that we have to do as a city is kind of get a hold of that, because sometimes the utilities, Comcast, Pacific Power, PG, whoever those utilities are, sometimes see it's kind of an opportunity for a shopping spree when a development is being done. They kind of see it as an opportunity to do infrastructure improvements on the backs of private development, and it catches a lot of developers off guard, and what it does is it just translates right to rental income, rental costs and leasing costs, and goes right back to the citizens of Portland. So it's I do compliment the LID process, but overall it is always tricky to do these projects. For instance, In the LID process, I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but when you go to bidding of these projects, for instance, if we were to do the undergrounding, if we were to do this work, there's a 25% premium added to the cost for what's called city bidding. There's another 25% added to the cost for premium for city management. And then there's a 40% contingency added. So in essence, what you're taking is what the private sector could do for development work, undergrounding work, even streetlights. There's a 90% surcharge added to it. So I understand that there's the unknowns in these arenas, but that is difficult for the private sector to absorb when they're paying what's essentially a 90% add to what the private sector could do in regard to these issues. So it's something that I think the conversation can continue, and I hope to just make it better and better, and I'll help any way I can. In regard to Andrew Abbey's comments on the overheading of the power lines, it is interesting how it's done right now. I'm not so complimentary Pacific Power. In my initial meetings, Pacific Power, what they have done in the past is they just go to whoever the first person is that asks them to move the power lines. So in that example that Andrew showed of that property on Williams, those power lines were moved across to be now in front of a church, a long-standing African-American church. So now the onus is upon them to deal with the power lines that's now in front of their property. So the landowner across the street paid a fee to move those lines across. Now they're in front of the church. I'm sure the church was even probably unbeknownst to them that this was happening. They now have no opportunity. They can't move them back across the street. They have to go underground. So this church is now faced, if they ever develop their own property, they're faced with probably triple the cost of what the first person who came to Pacific Power asked. So I think with the city's help, PGE and Pacific Power can have long-range planning. So this kind of piecemeal doesn't occur in the future. I think it's unfortunate, and it does take advantage of to whoever's at the table second. And in this case, and in a couple cases up and down Williams, it's put in place of long-term property owners who then have to deal with it in the future. So I think that's something that we have to get a hold of as a city and help the whole process, because I agree, every area, in my opinion, would look way better with underground services, but that's extremely expensive and it's very difficult to do. But I think we don't have a plan in place that makes much sense yet. So let's just collectively work on that. In answer to your question about the Red Cross, we are in continued conversations with them. They see the need, but they're kind of a nonprofit donation-based, and so they're very tight on the money. But they are, to your point, they are, I think, it's the trickiest thing that's where all the pedestrians cross, and that's all the Red Cross. So they're working on it, they're understanding it, but they're just a long kind of process to get there. But I do appreciate everything. As I've told you guys in the past, I really do appreciate the city of Portland. It's a great place to work. I love being a part of it. I love developing and building in it. And I think this whole region with New Seasons, Emmanuel Hospital, Sierra Construction, who's contributing, as well as Karuna Development, we're all coming together to make this whole region, in my opinion, much improved, and we appreciate all your guys' help today. So, thank you.
Thank you all.
Mr. Kaiser, I just have one question. Sure. Someone earlier mentioned that you're getting some SDC credits for your LID contribution. Is that correct?
That's correct, yep.
And does that offset all or just a portion of your contribution?
A portion.
Right. A portion. Yep. If we didn't have an SDC credit to offer, have you given some thought to what other inducements we might offer private developers to offset some LID costs if SDC credits were not available?
Well, I think, as you can imagine, SDC credits were a surprise that they were being offered, and they were very helpful.
Let's assume tomorrow the council says we don't do SDC credits, and I'm familiar with that model because we've given credits to folks who've donated land for parks, for example. So we have that tool. But just off the top of your head, if we didn't have that tool available and we wanted to offset a portion of your costs, are there other avenues that we could explore?
Well, I think to the point of the higher cost of dealing with city doing the infrastructure improvements, I mean, if there's some mechanism that we could allow kind of to cut that 90% overhead, because literally that is doubling the cost on these things. So on the private development side, if we could work with the city to get a hold of those, whether in the management or in the... So a 40% contingency, you guys can probably imagine nobody in my business can get away with 40% contingency. So
we could bring the cost down. There's an SEC credit. Are there any other market-based tools that you can think of that we could offer a private developer to offset?
There could be always property tax, kind of working on property tax costs going forward, if that's a possibility.
Well, this is a conversation that's going to carry forward to all kinds of housing issues, so I think maybe at some point we'll ask you to give us your thoughts.
That's an interesting question, and I think if we did, because like I said, if we all work together, I think we could make more of these improvements quicker as a group, and how we divvy up those costs in between the city and the private development teams, how we do it, I think there's a key that would make it actually easier, faster, and the intersections could improve all around the city based on that kind of puzzle. Thank you.
Good point. Thank you. Other questions? Thank you very much. Appreciate all three of you coming in for this.
Thanks.
Good morning, Ms. Holden.
Good morning. My name is Sheila Holden. I'm Regional Community Manager for Pacific Power. And thank you, Mayor, for allowing me to speak, and Commissioners this morning. Andrew has done a very great job of finding a solution to an issue that our company has been dealing with for the past couple of years. I'm wearing several hats here this morning. The main one is the Pacific Power hat. But as someone had a blast from the past, as the co-chair of the Interstate Urban Renewal Area and chair of the North Northeast Economic Development Alliance back in 2000, early 2000s, we got together with all the businesses between Russell and Alberta and came up with a plan for redevelopment that PDC helped with for the Vancouver-Williams corridor. And we were looking for a balance of housing, of light commercial, and the opportunity for a commercial district in that area. And to look at what's there now and see the progress that has been made, I think it was a good foundation to getting people to looking at the future and what could be there in the corridor. That being said, zero lot development created some issues for our utility that we had not anticipated would be happening in such rapid pace, at such a rapid pace. And so what has happened is we are required to provide power to the customer when they come to us and say we need it. If we have overhead lines in that area, we will be providing them that power through our overhead lines. If that customer says, gee, I want to have, because I'm wanting to put in five stories and our poles are going to hit, your pole will hit in right at the second story where I'm going to have housing and I'm looking to put in a balcony or something, we have safety issues there. So that means their development either has to go back a ways or we have to remove our lines. If they say they want us to move our lines to the other side of the street and there is room to do that, we make that application to the city. Here's where the disconnect happens. And I've talked with the Sustainable Development Planning Commission and with a number of the developers on the street, including Ben Kaiser, about this. We are obligated to do as the customer asks if we can accommodate it. The disconnect is that whoever owns the property across the street, when we go in for our permit, doesn't get notification that we are looking to do that. And so there needs to be something with the Title 17, I think I heard from planning, that we should get folks together and figure out how we can get that notification to people so that they know that it's happening. And we're very willing to have a meeting with anyone on the street to let them know what the process is for undergrounding. So that responds to that issue. But overall, I think what's really the great piece of this whole thing is the fact that we have now a tool. So anyone that's within the corridor and within the current LID would be able to have the cost of their undergrounding financed through the city. the beauty of it is that as other businesses or developers decide to start their projects other areas along that corridor, they too potentially could take advantage of this tool. And I hope that that's the process that you guys will approve and make part of your new portfolio of tools for development and for the smaller developers as well as the larger ones.
Good points. Thank you. Questions for Sheila? Thanks very much.
I wanted to thank you and Mr. Kaiser for giving us a lot of food for thought. And also just wanted to thank you for attending the meeting the Commissioner Fish and I had where Director Treat was talking about the possibility of our doing a better job as utilities of coordinating our work and hopefully avoiding duplication and saving us all some money. And I hope we'll continue to work on that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. No one else signed up to testify on this item, Carla?
That's all who signed up.
And then we need to vote on the resolution.
Fish?
Andrew, thanks for your outstanding work. It seems like every time we have one of these LID resolutions, we hear from the public, and the praise is generally directed towards Andrew and his team for the way he manages these things. Andrew, I have a few actually thorny issues on my plate I could use your help unraveling, so we'll talk about that. Nice job, and thanks to everyone who came and testified. And I share what Commissioner Novick said. I think you gave us some food for thought. I was not aware, for example, that hole in our code that doesn't give the notification. And we're also, I think, interested in looking at other market-based tools for offsetting some costs generally or creating incentives to do things so that it's like a robust discussion. So thank you all very much. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Good work. Aye.
Novick.
Thanks again, Andrew, for your terrific work as always. I just wanted to note that this reminds us that although the focus when people talk about transportation costs tends to be on pavement, the signals and other parts of the infrastructure cost money too. And in this case, we were able to use private developers' money plus the SDC credit to get this done. But of course, there are many areas of the city where we need signalization of one kind or another, and there aren't private landowners or developers who are in a position to offer it. And that's one of the reasons we really need more money for, you know, general transportation funds in order to address other safety issues. Aye.
Fritz.
This is a good model of area residents and businesses looking to fund necessary improvements, and I'm glad that this is the first of its kind. I hope it is the first of many. Aye.
Hales.
Good work. This is going to improve the livability and the safety of this neighborhood, and I also particularly appreciate this discussion about how the LID tool might work in undergrounding and the need for us to be doing some forward-looking thinking about where in the city is undergrounding really going to be required. Look at Division, look at Alberta, think it through. After these streets get further along in the process of redeveloping, it's going to become more and more ludicrous to have, you know, a web of overhead lines there. So working with our utilities early in the, or now, early enough in some cases, a little late in others, would be a smart idea. And I think both the Planning and Sustainability Bureau and our utility bureaus ought to be working with you on that front, as well as coordinating current construction projects. So I think this discussion was useful, and for at least for me, and I think for others here, in highlighting the need for us to be doing that advanced planning work, as well as continuing to make the LID tool work so well. Thank you. Aye.